World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So it's 2,539 by my number. Spencer, I might be off. 2,539. He says 40. 2,540 because I went up. Maybe somebody while you're doodling there today as we're getting going here. How many years is that? 2,540. There are 5 days in a week. Now, we missed some of them because you had holidays and all that. 2,540. That's 2,540 divided by 5 divided by 52, whatever. I mean, I've been doing it a while. I've been doing it a while. And I want to encourage you, 9.7 years. Is that right, Spence? Is that what that you got up on the screen? 9 years. I've been doing this 9 years. Wow. Could that possibly? Anyway, hey, look, let me tell you something out there. Because I hear from and I don't want this to sound wrong, okay? I don't want this to come out wrong. I have people who are trying to start their own podcast. And they want to get it gone. And, dudes, I remember my first podcast. I didn't have any of this stuff I had. It's just me talking into a camera. How many years ago would that be? 9 years ago? Nine. I've been doing this every morning for 9 years. And I'm honored, love to help every one of you get your podcast up and running and whatever it is the Lord's called you to do. God bless you. I'm all for you. But this isn't your platform. This isn't the platform to be able to do it. Put a lot of time and effort and energy in it. And it's been so powerful that I get up every morning and there are hundreds, if not thousands of people who get up every morning to do this. It really is amazing. And you have to realize this. All of you have a little niche. You have your own little audience. Quit worrying about how big your audience is. Stop it. Because you might start a thing, and the next thing you know, you light Randy Lunsford on fire, and you light Craig Mickle on fire, and you light Dave Allison on fire, and I could go on and on and on. Despise not the days of small beginnings. If you want to start a podcast, God bless you. Go for it. And every day when you get up, do it, be consistent. And at the end of the day, realize that's about all you can do. That's about all you can do. And so I just want to thank all of you. You know, it's been a journey. Spent the weekend over with David Hebner. God bless David Hebner and the last evangelist. He did a movie. I don't even know how to explain it. What it was. I got to see Betty and Craig did a good presentation and Mike Spaulding, and I'm going to forget a bunch of people. I'll start naming names. And it was really, really good. And help me to see again out there how many people there are. I would call it alternative media. Does anybody ever watch the CBS Evening News or NBC or ABC or CNN? And MSNBC changed their name. Did you know that? They're not even MSNBC anymore. They got a new name. Why? Because ain't nobody watching them. People are watching podcasters. Two reasons why. Number one, you can be in dialogue. Some of them, you can actually talk to the guy, dialogue back and forth. Created a whole new, I hate the word genre, but way of doing stuff. It's changing the world. It really is changing the world. So I got some stuff I want to poke you in the nose with today, if you don't mind. And before I go any further, listen. Hey, Spencer, pull up Alberino and Beck. I would encourage every one of you to make the time today to put this in the chat. Now, hang on. We're having some technical difficulties today. If you're watching, just freeze it there if you would, Spencer. We're having some technical difficulties today. You may not be able to access everything in the chat through your cell phone. If you're on your computer, you're okay. If you're on your cell phone, it's a Google issue probably, okay? Don't panic. Don't send this text. Say, I can't get in. Don't do that because we're doing everything we can to try to make it okay, all right? So, look, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And I don't know if you guys know who Timothy Alberino is, but he is, he's a giant. He's a Nephilim. Well, he's not, but he's a researcher, a giant, a Nephilim guy. And friends, Glenn Beck gave him an hour on his show to talk about all this stuff that we've been talking about. For how long have we been talking about it? And here, kaboom, the door gets blown open and Timothy Alberino comes in. It was, oh my God, was it unbelievable. And Glenn, look at Glenn. Glenn was spellbound as Alberino begins to talk about the giants and the spiritual realm. And folks, so look, the old coach says, you got to listen to this. This is homework. You have got to listen to Timothy Alberino. I know Tim, not great. I'm trying to get him on the show and haven't heard back from him yet. Unbelievable. All this stuff around me, the Nephilim mounds, all this stuff. And folks, it's all biblical. So I'm going to put that in the chat. And sometime today, listen to Glenn Beck and Timothy Alberino. You have any idea how big Glenn Beck's audience is? How many views does this have, Spencer? Scroll down. Glenn Beck has 1.6 million subscribers. He's a 1.6 million subscribers. And Timothy Alberino just opened up the Nephilim, the Anakim, all that stuff. Something's happening, baby. There's something going on. So put it in there. Follow it. Do it. Okay, hang on. It's Monday. I'm getting my homework done here, okay? I said great weekend. I got that one done. I got that one done. Okay, cool. David Arthur's in here today, I hope. Because I want to dig into something like, again, what do you call this show? I know me, talking about me, I learned more here than I ever learned when I went to church. Would somebody say amen? Somebody say amen. I learned amen. More here.
Amen, coach.
Than I ever learned going to church. And the reason, not because I'm so smart, but I do the research, and then we have an hour every day to talk about this stuff. I don't care what it is, probably, in your local church, they just brush over it. Or again, you could raise your hand right now and say, oh, yeah, coach, last week we talked about the Nephilim at our church. Or how many of you could say, we never, ever have heard about the Nephilim in our church? Huh? Come on, man. Especially with everything we see breaking out, artificial intelligence, yada, yada, yada. Wow. So let me jump in here. Because here's what, this really, really, really caught my heart today. Where am I? Okay, first of all, here's the theme. I'm going to give you the theme before we end, okay? Listen. Stop sinning. Say what? Yeah, stop sinning. What's your sin? What's your particular favorite sin? Gossip? Overeating? Anger? Unforgiveness? What's your sin? What's your favorite sin? 8 hours a day on the internet? Here's the theme today. Pick one and stop it. Pick a sin and stop it. Remember, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the big ones. It's those little things that you do every, selfishness, gluttony, greed. Those are the seven deadly sins. I may get into them here in a second. But here's where I wanted to start. There's a real conflict in front of us, and we're going to have to decide what we're going to do about it. And that is MAGA. MAGA really misses it in a lot of ways, folks. I don't know if you saw the infighting going on between MAGA, Donald Trump, and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Have you guys seen that? It's all blown up. All of a sudden, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Spencer, maybe you can Google that so people know who you're talking about. one of Trump's biggest defender is no longer one of Trump's bigger defenders. MTG, as she's, huh? She ain't on the war between MTG and Trump. Did you know that? Did you guys know that's going on? And I said the other day, there's a shattering of MAGA. Now, the shattering of MAGA may be good. It may be good because there's a lot of evil in MAGA, a lot of evil in MAGA. And I'm going to tell all of you again, whether you will accept this or not, Donald Trump is not a born-again Christian. And I don't know why we expect him to act like one. I really don't know why we expect him to act like a born-again Christian. He's not. He doesn't understand the gospel. But I would say this, he's not against the gospel. He's for the gospel. He's inviting pastors in. All that. He's all for it. He has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. He's got that. I'm going to say this. He's closer to a Christian than Joe Biden ever was. He's certainly closer to a Christian than Kamala Harris ever was. He's certainly closer to a Christian. I don't know. Dick Cheney. I could go on and on and on. Those on the conservative movement. Remember on my t-shirts, conservatism is pretend salt. Conservatism is not Christianity. And if you understand what's going on in the political realm, they don't promote Christianity, they promote conservatism. Well, conservatism isn't salt. It looks like it. It tastes like it, but it is not the same thing. So MAGA, somebody help me out here. MAGA is pretend salt. And we all like it because it looks like salt. It smells like salt, all that stuff. And yes, Trump is making Christianity legal again. He's legalizing Jesus. But friends, are you looking at me? Stop it. Trump is not a Christian. Okay? Quit acting, expecting him to act like one. He is not a Christian. And one of the main things I'm going to push today, I'm all over the place. Pull up. I got this from Matt Tuella today. Number one, I want to ask you a question. In this age of enlightenment, is homosex now okay? In this age of enlightenment, Donald Trump, a couple of his advisors are practicing homosex. That Scott Bessent, is that his name? Look at that. Scott Bessent, he's the guy who's head of the economics. See if you can find that, Spencer. I think it's B-E-S-S-E-N-T. Scott Bessent is a practicing homosexual. And he's in charge of, what's he in charge of? There he is. He is an American government official, real estate investor, former hedge fund manager, serving since yada, yada, yada. Folks, Scott Bessent is a practicing homosexual in the administration. All right? Trump has other practicing. Look down here. Trump's war on gay, lesbian, trans people. That's not true. That's not all about gay treasuries. I'm not picking on Scott Bessent. I'm trying to show you that Donald Trump, because he doesn't have a Christian worldview, is okay with homosexuality. He's okay with it. So Matt Tuella made this video. This is good. Now, what is radical? Boy, I'm all over the place. Hang on, Spencer. What is the root word of radical? Go to Mr. Webster, see what radical means. Radical. Radical. Rising. Uh-oh, there it was. Go back. You had it. Huh? Pertaining to the root. Huh? Pertaining to the root. What? Pertaining to the root. So radical means what's at the root of it? What is at the root of it? Right? What's at the root of MAGA? What is the seed of MAGA? Is it financial prosperity? Is that really all it is? We all just want financial prosperity, and we'll look every other way at every other sin because we're after money. We're after money. We're after greed. You with me? With me? What's the root? Radical Christianity. What would be at the root of radical Christianity? So Matt Tuella makes this little video, and I don't know who sent it. Maybe it's Betty. Betty sends me a lot of stuff. Thanks, Betty. Everybody else does too. And Matt does a little spot on the compromise in the MAGA movement. No. The compromise in Christianity over homosex. Okay? Help me out here. Are you called a bigot if you speak out against homosexuality? Are you called a hate monger, a homophobe? Is homosexuality becoming more and more prevalent in American Christianity? Yes or no? Yes or no? Let me ask this. Just a second. So, would you want somebody in the pulpit who's a thief? No. Would you want somebody in the pulpit who's married and is sleeping around, goes to the whorehouse every Friday? No. Would you want somebody in the pulpit who is a drug addict? No, I wouldn't. Would you want somebody in the pulpit who has sex with little boys? No, I wouldn't want that. Well, then why is homosex okay? Wait a minute. Do we want thieves sitting in the church? Now, we open the door and welcome thieves, but you ain't going to stay one. You're not going to continue to be part of our fellowship if you're a thief. Hang on. We want people to be in part of our fellowship if they're gluttons, they're backbiters, and gossipers. I say no. My old baseball coach, Dick Fishbowl at Otterbein, told me, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Right? So Matt Tuella points out, sorry, TPUSA, Charlie Kirk, TPUSA, and much of the conservative movement, they called them log cabin Republicans. Log cabin? Huh? So Matt Tuella busts them out. I'll get to you, Gino. Hang on. It's only 2 minutes. I want you to ask yourself right now, hang on, before we go any further, is homosexuality a sin? And when I was a Catholic boy, they trained me on mortal sins and venial sins, little sins and big sins. Is homosex a mortal sin or a venial sin? Is it a big sin or a little sin? Would you invite into your church and let them put a robe around them someone who is having sex with little children? The answer is, of course, no. No. But we openly invite people who are having sex with people of the same sex, and we call that Christianity. Go ahead, play this real quick. Scott Pressler, the guy just had a... Mr. Trump. Hang on. Up pressed with gay conservative political activists who took credit for helping Donald Trump turn Pennsylvania red is now vowing to do the same in New Jersey, trying to get the gays to vote for Trump or vote Republican. So, well, this is nefarious. Do I need to read all this? Some of you are listening. I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you can't hear. I'm not going to read what's already on the screen. Go ahead. It's Scott Pressler.
Well, let's activate the 30% of Christians that are not registered to vote. I'm going to put this upon your heart right now. Reach out to your pastor. Reach out to your bishop. Reach out to...
Can you be a Christian? Be a practicing homosexual? Hang on. Can you be a Christian and be a practicing glutton? Can you be a Christian and be a practicing liar? Can you be a Christian and be a practicing thief? Can you? Is sin sin? Keep going. We're trying to normalize
right
sin.
Now, reach out to your pastor, reach out to your bishop, reach out to whoever you get your faith services from, and ask for permission to do voter registration after Mass, before Mass, outside of church, We must engage the 30% of Christians that are not registered.
So I talked last week, and by the way, I'm back in the book of Genesis this week, but this is in reference to last week. I mentioned Scott Presler, open sodomite, brought in by Charlie Kirk and TPUSA in order to be put on stages across our state, was introduced by TPUSA staff, paid staff at all the gatherings. And then that was in 23, and then he came back again in 24 when TPUSA gave him $5 million and put him up on stages all over the. He's in Pennsylvania this week, and for some reason this came across my feed, and I want to make some comment about it. So what you're about to see is Scott Presler walking into a large conservative GOP gathering out in Pennsylvania, and I'm going to make some comments about that subsequent to showing it. It's only going to be real short. I wanted you to see that because I want you to see firsthand that platforming open homosexuals has consequences. That it normalizes homosex within society. And it's being done by the conservatives, by the GOP, and also by TPUSA, has been for the last decade. And as I talked about in my sermon last week, that hasn't changed. It was that way all the way up to the shooting, and it's been that way subsequent to the shooting. I think the thing that really grieved me most and really shook me most when I saw that video come across my feed was the fact of there's my generation. Those are old people, almost all old people. I'm an old person. I'm 65. I'm a legitimate senior citizen. That's my generation, and here they are leaving this to their children and their grandchildren. This idea that this is okay, what God calls a crime, which Western civilization outlawed for over 1,500 years, suddenly we're going to applaud and clap someone who openly professes that. And then you speak about it, and Christians take you to task for it, as though you're weird for saying this isn't right. No, it shows you the state of American Christianity. And it also shows you how so many Christians separate their Christianity from civil government matters. And we shouldn't. God's word speaks to every area of our life and every area of life, including the area of civil government. The magistrates have a duty to criminalize homosexual acts. I'm going to put in the detail box of today's sermon an article I did with a link to a sermon, Four Reasons Why the Magistrates Have a Duty to Criminalize Homosex in Society. And if you never read that, then you'll be able to, and if you never heard the sermon, you'll be able to hear it. But we need to keep our faces low to the ground and seek God and walk close to Him, because things are not good in our nation. When the people of God who have a duty to declare the truth of God's word are aiding and abetting homosex, you're in a bad state, bad condition. So that's all wanted to say about that.
I'm going to open it here in a second. I know Gina Witt's getting in it. Let's go here real quickly. Okay, let's stop right here a second. Before you start calling me a homophobe and bigot and whatever you want to call me and yada, 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 yada. Ask yourself this. Is homosexuality a sin?
Is what?
Is it a sin? Is homosexuality a sin? But hang on. Is adultery a sin? Is it? We have to make that determination. How about this? Is drug addiction a sin? Taking drugs, is it a sin? Say, well, coach, I was born this way. I was born. I know you were. You're born with a carnal nature. That's the whole gospel. that you get victory over your carnal nature. And all of a sudden, I don't know about you guys, in 1970, when I graduated from high school, you didn't even use the word homosexual. You didn't use it. I didn't know any. They may have been around. They may have been closeted. Hang on. Some of you are getting nervous right now. Would you mind if somebody in your classroom was a thief? A closeted thief? Women, they loved Jesus and were thieves? It doesn't go together, does it? Doesn't go together. So it's going to make some of you nervous. Go to number two. Number two. I'm speaking to Christians now, not to non-Christians. Speaking to Christians. 25 Bible verses about homosexuality. See right there. You shall not lie with a man as with a woman. It's an abomination. Hey, Gene, do you believe that? Do you believe that lying with a male as you do with a woman? Folks, do we believe that's an abomination? We did for 6,000 years, thought it was an abomination. What else? That made it okay. Leviticus says if a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. See, that's more than just a sin. It's more than just a sin. It's an abominable sin that they shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The Bible calls for killing homosexuals. See, I make some of you cringe right now. But David Arthur, the former homosexual, transgender, I don't want to kill him. I don't kill him. But God said kill him before he spreads that disease to somebody else. We want him redeemed, born again, forgiven. But if he won't, Jude 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities were likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desires, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal life. The punishment was they lost eternal fire. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged the natural relations for that which are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men, New Testament, men committing shameless acts with men and then receiving in themselves a due penalty for their error. By the way, receiving in themselves, I believe, means that's who they became. When they did it, that's who they became. You're not a thief till you steal. Then you become one. And then it becomes a lifestyle. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And not only that, teach the rest of us to do it and accept it and teach it in our schools. Somebody say amen out there. Because this sounds harsh, doesn't it? This sounds, are we going to be Bible believers and Christ followers or not?
Genesis, amen.
Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. They shall become one flesh. A man and a man cannot become one flesh because the purpose of marriage is reproduction. When you have sex, you're supposed to have the possibility of a new human being being created. A man and a man can never create a baby. And right now, the Christian left is calling me homophobic, bigoted, judgmental, hateful. Come on, you know what's going on. You're not allowed to say this stuff. You're not allowed to preach this in church because Aunt Susie sitting on the front pew maybe giving $10,000 to your church, and you start talking against her nephew who's gay. She ain't going to take it. She can pull that money out of there. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. Do not know the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, folks. Neither the sexually immoral. You sleeping around? Huh? Hang on, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Divorce is a sin, you know. Huh? You know that, don't you? And then they legalized divorce, made it okay. So the government said it's okay. Well, soon as the government says it's okay, then God's okay with it, right? God's okay with it because government says it's okay. But do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, New Testament, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. I could go on and on and on. I'm not, because I want to get you in here, folks. So why is it simply enlightenment that Christianity is now, conservatism is now embracing homosexuality. And see, Scott, the guy that had come in there, they all applauded when we walked in the room. You know why they all applauded for him? Because he helped him win the election. He helped him win the election. See, but because 1 Corinthians 7 says, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old man has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, hang on a minute. Hang on. I'm heading someplace today. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do at the end of the show. I'm just going to get you thinking about it right now. See, you know in your life, and I know in my life, what that secret sin is. It doesn't even have to be guilty. It doesn't have to be secret. Hang on. Seven deadly sins. Pull them up there for number seven. Stay with me. It's important. Seven deadly sins in the Bible. Explained daily. I'm not going to read down. There they are. Pride. Anybody out there pride? Anybody out there prideful? Anybody out there greedy? You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Sorry. Yeah, are you? You're caught up in wrath or lust or envy, gluttony, sloth. These are the seven deadly sins. There's a deadly sin. Are you operating one of those? Oh. Can I tell you the truth? Those mega churches, they're full of pride and greed. Betty, give me a thumbs up on that. The mega churches are full of pride and greed and envy and sloth because they don't ask you to do anything. Just come and give them a bunch of money. These are contrasties with the seven heavenly virtues. You're not going to get something like this at any other show. The seven heavenly virtues, what are they? Scroll down, Spence. What are the seven heavenly virtues? Prudence, justice, temperance, courage, faith, hope, charity. So I want to say this right now before I open it up again. I'm going to come back here a second. I want you today at the end of this show to pick one of these sins that you're doing regularly. Know that you are and stop it. Just stop it. If your sin is greed, stop it. Give something away. Do you ever find yourself not being able to pray for somebody because you're jealous? Those are sins. By the way, these are legal sins in America. Now we're just trying to legalize the fleshly sin. I'm sorry. Hang on. Pull up number four, and then I'm going to open it up. What is fornication? What is it? Well, scroll down, Spence. What is fornication? Definition of it, sexual intercourse between people not married to each other, including premarital. Scroll on down, Spence. But biblical meaning, what is it? Be therefore followers of God, as dear children, walk in love, as Christ has also loved us, given himself over as offering and sacrifice to God for sweet smiling ever. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as becoming the saints. Neither filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Stop criticizing Coach Dave and start praying for Coach Dave. Stop criticizing Donald Trump. Do you guys criticize him? Do you pray for him as much as you criticize him? Put all this in the chat. This is all good. I don't have time to get there. So at the end of today's show, you are going to pick something you know is wrong, and you're going to stop doing it. You're going to stop doing it. Because, see, the Holy Spirit gives you the power over sin. You got to exercise that power. You watching porn on the computer? Well, then turn the damn thing off. Turn it off. Can't watch it if you turn it off, can you? Do you want to get victory over it or not? You understand the consequences of pornography? You understand the consequences of it? Do you understand the consequence of silence? and not speaking up against evil? Do you understand the consequences of that? You know, it says it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw you in the deepest part of the ocean than to teach little ones, little kids lies. And you and I pay money, send them to school to teach them lies. Do you understand that's a sin? Well, but my pastor says it's a good. My pastor prays before the football games. Oh, yeah. Good for him. Come on in, Gene. You've been waiting.
Okay, we're way past where I put my hand up.
That's all right, buddy. That's all right.
I just want to throw a thought out here that everybody may be sticking their tongue at me in a little bit. But, you know, if President Trump is not a Christian, he's a businessman. And if he has two individuals come in for a job that needs to be taken, he's going to take the one that he feels is most qualified. He doesn't care if he's a homosexual or not, or a Christian or not.
That's right.
He's a businessman, and he's going to take the one that he feels is going to fulfill the job that he wants done. And you've answered the questions over and over as a Christian. Yes, we should not choose that one.
That's right. I couldn't see. They've created in all of us the lie of the separation between the church. And in other words, you're saying the separation of morality and government. That's what they've given us. Folks, how can you trust a Christian man? Really, how can you trust one? But how can you trust a non-Christian man? And we do that. And they told us in church that we're not to get our morality involved in culture. So we go out and we vote for non-Christian men. And Gene had a very, very good point. If I'm hiring a businessman, Trump's probably a good guy. If I'm hiring a pastor, he probably ain't. So we're going to have to decide, those of us who carry the name of Christ, what are we all about? Here's what a lot of people say. Well, coach, I'm just not going to get involved. Well, hold your ears, dumbass. If you don't get involved, you know who's going to run it. Right? And the reason we're in the mess that we're in is because we've allowed non-Christian conservatives to run the government. Right? Vote the lesser of two evils. Hey, friends, apart from Christ, they're all evil. They're all evil. They're all evil. So you look at what's going on with Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's pissed at Trump. What's it all about? What's it all about? I think I'm not criticizing her. I think she's twice divorced, I think, and living with somebody she's not married to. And she's criticizing Trump. I like her, by the way. Come on in, Randy.
Well, Coach.
Hey, Randy, this is a boom, isn't it?
It is, Coach. Excellent, excellent job. You're making a great point, and we need to see this. To be able to attack the situation, you have to understand what you're teaching here, Coach. Yep. And that's why you're doing it. I applaud you. I want to say this, Coach. I'm looking at people. If where they're at now, if David Arthur is a former transgender and homosexual, he's living a straight life. He's been clean of it. I mean, there's a lot of us who have been drug abusers in our past. That was a former. So Marjorie Taylor Greene, I don't know where she's at right now, Coach. I don't know.
By the way, Randy, let me stop there a second, because a former drunk can fall back. Can't they? Don't what?
Huh? Everyone can, Coach. None of us fit the description.
Can a former adulterer who's been married for 30 years fall back? Yeah, it's called sin. Can a former tranny fall back? Yeah, it's sin. It's the nature of sin. Go ahead.
But this is the whole point. Jesus said, "You judge them by their fruit." If we're judged by our past, none of us could do anything.
Boom! I'm out. I'm disqualified.
None of us. So the point is, Coach, I was a former, he told the Gentiles, you were former pagans.
Me.
Okay, but now the ones that are following Christ and who are pushing the kingdom of God and not their old practice, they're not a hypocrite no more. They've come out and they've repented. But look, we have hypocrite Christians who are saying, no, you can't have anybody in there. I'm against homosexual leaders for sure. Why don't you put your name in the hat and go run for office and be in there and do the job, and then we won't have to have those. See, that is the whole point you're making here. If the church would stand up and take authority like they should, then a lot of these leaders who are in there that are should not ever be in that position wouldn't be there. But we have to – I know it's hard to beat the – in politics, it's hard to win against money. But Thomas Massey, look what he's done in Kentucky, Coach. And they're trying to primary him because he's against Trump, but it's not going to happen. His base loves him. And they can, he tells them, look, if you want to love Trump, go ahead. But look what I'm doing. Look at my fruit. So my point is, none of us can be a politician or do anything if we look at what we formerly were. Look, judge everything by the fruit now.
That's right.
That's what we should do.
But Randy, the problem has, if, again, folks, if all the Christians voted for the same guy, whoever it would be, we'd run everything. We would run everything. But we don't. Divide and conquer. Oldest trick in the book, right? Old Christians don't necessarily vote the same way. Should we? I think so. Craig, come on in. Thanks for coming out here, Craig. Craig's. I'm telling you, Craig's mind never stops. He's a great witness, and he's a doer. And I'm glad to call you a friend, Craig.
Well, thank you, Coach. Well, the thing that I'm really concerns me about is, I mean, not only that, it's his position. Okay, he holds the keys, so to speak, to the Treasury, which he gives the president advice on the economics. Now, the thing is God going to, I mean, and we have very complex problems in this country. We all talk
so
about
he's, so he's getting good worldly advice, maybe not Christian advice, but worldly advice.
Well, can God give him the wisdom in his current condition to advise the president? And I put in the chat, even Egypt did well under Joseph. I mean, the Pharaoh certainly wasn't, you know, connected to God, but Joseph was, and Joseph was the Pharaoh's advisor. Okay, so we have it flipped around. And so the thing is God going to bless and give wisdom to this person to promote and prosper this nation? That's a fair question to ask. I'm not so sure that's going to happen. I hope it does. I mean, I hope it does. But, you know, is he going to get that thought in the middle of the night, you know, that comes from God? Hey, this is what you're going to have to do to thread the needle to get this nation, you know, to survive the upcoming storm. And we are in bad economic storm right now. We are in a horrible one. And I was actually listening on the way home from your place about the number of cars that are sitting on lots and floor pricing, you know, how they have to pay interest on these cars that have been sitting there for 90 days, 120 days. And they said that the number of dealers that are closing right now is equal to 2008.
Wow. Well, Craig, here's part, this is a whole nother show here, folks. This is a whole nother show. Instead of the government charging us interest, why doesn't the government invest in the people and then let the people pay the government? Why don't they give you the money to buy a car and then you make a monthly payment to the government rather than to the Federal Reserve? That's a whole different one, baby. That's a whole different one. See, interest is forbidden by Christ. It's forbidden. And our entire system, is built on usury, right? Come on in, Dave Allison.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Coach. James 1:8 says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Yes, so we have to realize that. And so that's why Donald Trump, when he does the things he does, I understand he's a double-minded man. He's going to struggle all the way through. We buy into this misconception, this settled misconception, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Not necessarily. See, and that's a subtle deception, right?
Right.
We're willing to accept this Scott guy because he's the enemy of my enemy, so he's my friend.
There you go, brother. There you go.
But the problem of it is now we brought a subtle deception into ourselves, and we're willing to accept things. So this is a difficult thing. But
so the point they were making, Matt, about Dave, the point they were making about Charlie Kirk was saying all the right things and at the same time promoting homosexuality, right? So, I mean, come on, man. This stuff is really, really insidious and dangerous, bud. It really, oh boy. Betty, come on in. Then Jack, get ready. You're coming right after Betty. Go, Betty.
Thanks. Yep. Did you know that Trump is building himself a gold statue that I think he's going to be putting at the Gaza? And to me, if he's putting that gold statue up, it reminds me of the golden calf and Moses.
Yeah.
So you know, he's kind of put himself above everybody. And then he got awarded the Prince of Peace from Israel. To me, there's only one Prince of Peace, and it's not Trump. It's Jesus.
So Betty, Trump, here's the thing. Trump isn't a Christian, folks. But I'm going to tell you something. He has more Christian values, policies, than most Christians do. He just doesn't believe them.
Well, remember,
he's a businessman. He knows how to advance, right? He's a good businessman, but he's not a good Christian. Because he isn't one.
And devil believes too, their coach. Yep. And he knows the scriptures better than I. But guess what? He ain't going to heaven.
So I'm going to tell you this, for those out there who are steaming a little bit. As long as you've been watching this show, I've never said Donald Trump was a Christian man, ever. I did say this. I said he's God's man. How do I know that? Because the Bible says he raises one up and he lowers another one, right? And he gave us whatever he gave us. And you have to admit this, Donald Trump, Christianity is legal under Donald Trump. Now, when we get into homosexuality, now he gets a little squeaky. Why? Because his values are not Christian. He is not a Christian man. Praise God we have him rather than Kamala Harris. Praise God we have him than Joe Biden, another non-Christian man. Well, Joe's a Catholic. Oh, yeah, come on. He wants to murder babies, right? Come on. So what are we seeing? Evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, Mike Heath was denied even a voice in the primary for saying exactly what Matt Truella just said. Watched it happen in real time. I also watched as the main GOP allowed a open activist, homosexual female, wiggle her way into the establishment GOP. And that when I objected, the chairman said, well, she's not killing babies. I said, that's the litmus test? That's the litmus test? She's not killing babies, so you're going to hand her over the checkbook of the main GOP? Really? Really? See? And the Christian community did exactly the same thing. The main Christian Civic League did exactly the same thing. Well, we can't have that conversation. Really? Okay, so let's also bring it down to personal. Let's bring it personal. Everybody get mad at me, but it's okay if you contribute 13 cents a week for abortion in your state. God's going to wink. It's only 13 cents a week, and it's okay. It's okay. Wait a minute. That's voluntary. The IRS chief said it's voluntary. So you're voluntarily contributing 13 cents. Only 13 cents a week is okay. If it was 20 cents a week, God might be mad about it, but he's going to wink at 13 cents.
Jack, in the eye of the law, you are an accessory to a crime, are you not?
Folks, No, it can't be that, folks. That cannot be.
Yeah. Hey, folks, every one of us, look, come on now, me, Coach Dave. If I, through my taxes, support the government, I'm complicit in abortion. You understand that? Bible says I have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. If I pay my taxes, I am complicit in the advancement of transgenderism and homosexuality to my neighbor's children. I can pull my kids out. Is it okay for me to poison my neighbor's kids? Is that okay? And until we as Christians understand the render unto Caesar which is Caesar's, time out. What belongs to Caesar? It's a question. Somebody answer it for me. What belongs to Caesar?
Nothing
belongs to Caesar. It all belongs to
Caesar. Amen.
Jesus said, render unto Caesar. They came to Jesus and asked about paying taxes. Came to Jesus. Said, hey, I wish I could find it. Maybe somebody can dig it up. Hey. They cornered him at a council meeting downtown. Say, hey, does you pay taxes? pay taxes? No, I'm sorry. They cornered one of his followers and says, does your master pay taxes? And they didn't know what to say because they'd never really heard Jesus talk about taxes. And they said, he's a good citizen in the room. He pays taxes. And then when the meeting was over, he called him back in the back into the room, says, hey, dude, who told you I pay taxes? You pay taxes? He said, look at that dollar. Whose image is on that dollar? I got one laying around there somewhere. And he said, well, George Washington. George Washington is. Okay, then if you think George gets that money, then give it to him. Did you hear that? He didn't say give him the dollar. He said, if you think that belongs to George, give it to him. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Can I ask you something? What do you own that doesn't ultimately belong to God? Anything? Is there anything you own that doesn't ultimately belong to God? And yet they tell us in our churches that we got to give these. Those, it's Caesar. And Jesus said very directly, dude, if you think it's his, you give it to him. Now, here's what we know. If you don't, they're going to steal from you everything you have, throw you in jail, scare you out. So what do? We blindly comply. This is some good stuff this morning. Hate to tell you. This is some good stuff. Craig, your hand's still up. I didn't know if you wanted to come back in. Jack, go ahead. Randy. Anybody.
Coach, look, this is what I believe, and it's just 5 cents was worth nickel, maybe. But Charlie Kirk was waking up. He had woke up. He understood that AIPAC had been his funder all those years. Now, his message was good, Coach. He was bringing the young people into courage. Basically, hey, stand up, have something to say, speak the gospel, you know, that type of thing. Okay, that was what he was about. His TPUSA corporation that was owned by AIPAC, and he realized he was a puppet of Israel. He realized he woke up to that. Okay, now guess what? You got to get rid of this guy. He's exposing everything. Right. So now his memory, Coach, you have to tie him. You have to demonize him and his. He knew it, saying, "Oh, he knew about all this corruption. Let's tie it all to him and take that down, and we'll be rid of it, and we can." Keep hijacking TPUSA and keep pushing our agenda, which is to accept homosexuality and everything else in on the other side. Do you see their playbook, Coach?
I do. I've seen
a lot. Amen.
So Randy, they're trying to give Tucker Carlson the boot. You know why they're trying to give Tucker Carlson the boot? He ain't one of them, man. Do you know there's a fight going on between Tucker Carlson and Mark Levin? Do you know that? The public argument between these two conservatives, right? Tucker's saying, stop giving all the money to Israel. And Levin's saying, you anti-Semite, you understand how the game's played yet? Do you understand it? This is what's going on around us. It's a great delusion. What's the other guy's name? Nick Fuentes, folks, the conservative, non-Christian conservative movement is in bed or against the Christian conservative movement. It's being split in half right in front of us. And I'm going to tell you that the key to it is get mad if you want. It will be the crucible, and that's Israel. That's the fight. They hate Tucker because Tucker's asking, why are we giving all this money to Israel? And then Levin comes out and says, get rid of Tucker. He's anti-Semitic, right? Then, folks, open your eyes and see where the battle was heading. And you will see when the battle's heading there, when the two sides are arraying against each other, that's the issue we're dealing with. And we can argue whether or not the Jews are God's chosen people and Israel should get all the... We can argue all we want to, but you cannot deny that is the issue. They want to cancel Tucker Carlson because he's beginning to ask that question. Should you be allowed to ask that question? Do all of us... Am I wrong to question the government of Israel? Am I wrong to do that? When did that become the unforgivable sin? This is the kind of stuff we're dealing with, folks, and it's spiritual. Johnny, come on in, man. We got 5 minutes left here.
Yeah, render to Caesar what is Caesar's.
Yep.
No, it's a question. No wonder John the Baptist and all the rest of them, when they were sitting in prison, they were all laughing because they were just like, really? You guys don't get it. That's why they were laughing.
Amen. Hey, Johnny, let me ask this one, brother. Parents out there, they're after the seed. What would some of you think if you walk down to the park? Let's say you live in a safe area of town. You got a nice city park down there, and your kids go down there all the time, and they play, and they ride their bikes, and they get on the swings, and they do the teeter-totters, and they do all that kind of stuff. And you show up one day, and they're all over sitting. There's about 10 of them. They're all sitting over there, and there's some man in front of them talking to all 10 of the kids. How many of you would get out of your car and walk up and say to that guy, what are you doing? Talking, what are you talking to my kids about? And he says, oh, I'm a public school teacher. How many of you would be stupid enough to allow somebody to teach your child different values and morals than you have? And that's what's going on. You're sending your children to be educated by people you don't even know. You do know this. If they open their mouth about Christ, they're going to get the boot. Witness number one. You can talk about anything you want to except Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ told us, if you teach those kids anything but about me, you're going to get a millstone thrown around your neck, dude, and you're going to be thrown into the deepest part of the ocean. So the question we have to ask ourselves today, are ready? Which is worse? The homosexual act, the homosexual behavior, or the non-homosexual who promotes it? Which is worse? I'm here to tell you that our churches and our pastors are blind to it. See, they don't mind. Maybe on one instance, they might speak out against homosexuality, but they will never stand before their congregation, never, broad brush, and say, look, this is going on in our schools and we have to stop it. Anybody ever been to a church that says that? Hey, they're teaching transgenderism to our kids, and it's our job to stop it. And we are going to stop it. Right? So that's where we are. I have so many more things I could show you. Here is the truth. Homosexuality is an abomination. Spencer, look that up real quickly. Abomination. Doesn't say it's wrong. Doesn't say it's a sin. It's abominable. Extreme hatred and detestation. The object of detest. I detest that. Defilement, pollution, physical sense, evil doctrines and practices, which are moral defilements, idols, idolatry, abominations. Homosexuality is an abomination, not just a sin. It's worse than that. Worse than that.
Bill, you ready?
Yeah. I don't think you're talking to me. Yeah. Did you? Are you in RL or not? No, I don't think he knows.
It's all right.
It's all good. It's all good. So, friends, the battle lines are drawn, man. That's the battle. We have conservatives who are not Christian. Can I say it again? Non-Christian conservatives are leading MAGA. That's where the battle's coming. See you tomorrow.